And there's something magical to statistically minded fans that there are probably 10 or more studies of Joe DiMaggio's hitting streak about what were the odds of that. So hitting streaks are very popular. And so, anyway, as I was saying earlier, what correlates with hitting streaks? High batting average would seem to be important. The player has to be a good hitter. But that's probably not the end of the story. Ted Williams, after all, never had longer than a 23-game hitting streak, despite a 344 career batting average. And, of course, he had a 400 season and other seasons in the high 300s. Official at-bats are important. As long as a player has even one official at-bat in a game and doesn't get a hit, that will end the streak. If you got all walks in a game, that would not count against you. But as long as you get one official at-bat and don't get a hit, that ends the streak. So if you can have 3, 4, 5 official at-bats in a game, you have a little bit of margin for error compared to only getting one or two. Thus, getting a lot of walks would hurt a player. And that's frequently what Williams' lack of a long hitting streak is attributed to. Career longevity, if somebody plays half a season in the major leagues, it's going to be unlikely they get a long streak. If they play 20 seasons, they have a lot more opportunities. We explored other possibilities. A strikeout rate. Somebody on the Baseball Reference blog had suggested that. Presumably that if you have a low strikeout rate, you put the ball in play a lot, that might help you. Foot speed, so maybe something to have to do with base stealing. So basically, we've got a bunch of variables to try to see what correlates with long hitting streaks. A commentator at Baseball Think Factory had tried to anticipate our findings that when Sabre announced its speaking schedule and listed the titles of all the talks, many baseball websites were reproducing that schedule, and a person named Robert in Manhattan Beach, I don't know if you're here or not, said, hit for a high average, don't walk, preferably hit at the top of the order for teams that have scored a bunch of runs, shouldn't take long. So I cut.
Thank you.
But actually, the last of those three about walking, where you hit in the order, and if your team scores, those all really revolve around at-bats, right? You don't walk, you allow the at-bats. Higher up in the order, more at-bats. If your team scores and bats around, more at-bats. Okay, the data management. It's a combined sample of current and historical MLB players, mainly from Baseball Reference. And again, and like other speakers, we thank Baseball Reference and other providers of the original data. Although for pre-1915 players, we had to go into Trent's private reserve of hitting streaks. Baseball Reference, when you click on the tab for players, you can click on letters for the surnames. And what I have on the far left margin, for every letter, they have what they call best known players. I don't know the exact mechanism for somebody to become a best known player, but we took those that were listed. We excluded, of course, full time pitchers. We used letters A through F, which yielded a sample size of 225, which in many social sciences, that's considered a fairly large sample size, but compared to the big data, we have small data. Now, we took, for every player in our sample, so it has to be a best-known player from Baseball Reference starting a last name with the letters A through F. The length of the player's three longest consecutive game hitting streaks. That's maybe a little controversial. One of the referees of our original abstract submission said basically a hitting streak is a one-off event. It either happens or it doesn't. And our approach is a little different. We're not interested in the streak per se, but rather in the player's propensity or tendency to go on long streaks. And so, as I'll show you, in fact, I can show you now, Henry Aaron, in the lower example, his three longest streaks, which you can get from Baseball Reference, or 25, 25, 22. So there seems to be some reproducibility or consistency that his longest streak is in the mid-20s, and he could reproduce that a couple times. Eric Davis, his longest was 30, highlighted in the yellow. But then his second and third were 17 and 11. So maybe that 30-game hitting streak was a little bit of a fluke, and it's out of character with his second and third longest. So we average the second, I'm sorry, we average the first, second, and third just to guard against outliers and try to get a more stable tendency of the player. And then we recorded the usual event statistics, games played, played appearances at bats, and so forth. And we could derive new variables, so official at-bats per game, you know, divide one by the other, and so forth. Okay. So we have, what we call our dependent variable, the given player's average length of his three longest hitting streaks. And then we have games played, batting average, at-bats per game, bases on balls per plate appearance, strikeouts per plate appearance. Now, the last two have to do with running speed. The faster you are, you might be able to beat out the grounder, get a hit. We had some trouble initially. At first, it was looking like being faster afoot was negatively related or inversely related. The faster you were, the less. I then discovered that in some of the older data on Baseball Reference, so this is Frank Chan's 1898 to 1914, you'll notice that the stolen base and cost stealing column is largely empty. So I realized that we just probably had, we've had big data, small data. In this case, I think we had bad data or missing data. So when I mindlessly told the computer, compute stolen bases divided by stolen bases plus caught stealing, so it might say that a player had 403 stolen bases in 403 attempts. Anyway, so we got rid of that. That original finding in the submitted abstract is not authentic. So we tried stolen bases per game. It's not maybe as precise as success with cost stealing would be, but the data were all present. And one of the referees on our submitted abstract suggested making the use of triples, because that involves some foot speed. And we modified that a little bit. The ratio of triples over doubles, we were thinking that with singles, it's a ball that touches down the outfield that is comfortably fielded by the outfielder, usually in front of the outfielder. A home run is out of the park. What doubles and triples have in common is that they're usually hit to the wall, hit the gap, and toward the corner. And so maybe what determines to some extent whether a player gets a double or a triple is foot speed. So we have a ratio of triples to doubles. Now, many of you have training in statistics and know the difference between what's called the Pearson correlation versus multiple regression, but I'll just try to give a very brief overview. Correlation is just how one variable relates to another. So when you see a positive correlation, so games played 0.40 with the streak length, a positive correlation means that one variable goes up, so does the other. Like 0.40 is positive. A negative one, such as strikeouts per plate appearance, negative 0.36, a negative correlation means as one goes up, the other goes down, the opposite or inverse. The stars have to do with what's called statistical significance. Is the finding discrepant enough from a zero correlation where we can reject what's called the null hypothesis of null correlation? The thing about a correlation is it's just those two variables. How does batting average correlate with streak length? 0.62. That's very good. 1.0 is the maximum. At bats per game, 0.55. Strikeouts per plate appearance, minus 0.36. The ratio of triples to doubles, 0.30. Stolen bases per game, 0.26. Regression takes it a step further where it tells you the relationship between let's say, games played and streak length, and it holds constant the other predictors. So we have 7 predictors, right, from games played being the first, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7. A regression will tell you the relationship between the one focal predictor and the length of the streaks holding constant the other 6. So the reason I have highlighted in yellow the top 3 is that in the regression context, only the top 3 remain statistically significant. Games played, batting average, and at bats per game. So for example, stolen bases per game, when you look at it as a correlation where it's just the one predictor and the streak length, in order to steal bases, you have to have gotten on base. So stolen bases is sort of carrying with it, so to speak, hits. So it's when you put it into the more rigorous regression. So basically, there are 3 predictors. Just in the interest of time, I'm not going to go over the difference between standardized and unstandardized. Now, also, we try to illustrate this graphically. So remember, the 3 predictors, so A, B, and C. So panel A in the upper left, and then the caption says, increment of 1,000 career games played on a horizontal axis is associated with a roughly 3-game increment on the hitting streak measure, the vertical.
You probably won't hear me as well, but as you go for 1,000 games in a career to 2,000, if you go to what's called the best fitting line, the average length of a hitting streak goes up by about 3.
Right, so for every increment of 1,000 games played, your hitting streak measure goes up by about 3 additional games of hitting streak. For panel B, an increment of 0.050 on batting average, so on the graph of B, you can see, for example, a 0.250, a 0.300, a 0.350. For every 50 points of batting average, that would raise your average streak length by about 6 games.
Career.
I'm sorry. Oh, yeah, these are all career. Yes, good question. These are all career. And then lastly, an increment of 0.50 at bats per game is associated with roughly a 4-game increment in hitting streaks. So in the C graph, in the lower right, you see 3 at bats per game, 3.5 bats per game, 4 bats per game. So for example, if, just to make up some numbers, if a player had, three at bats per game, they would tend to have an average streak of 11, and then 350, it would tend to be 15. So basically it's saying that the streaks get longer. I'm going to skip that part in the interest of time. Players who appear in many games, hit for better averages, and get many official at bats per game produce the longest hitting streaks. Those are probably intuitive. In fact, our poster on the blog earlier anticipated hitting for the better average, getting the official at bats. The career longevity was not anticipated, but that, if you think about it, that's pretty intuitive as well. Strikeouts per plate appearance initially appear to depress hitting streaks. Strikeouts per plate appearance minus 0.36, but in the regression it was not significant. Measures of foot speed based on stolen bases and on triples initially were associated with longer hitting streaks in correlation, but not in the regression. What was a surprise is that walks per plate appearance were entirely unrelated to streak length. So you see, right under the yellow area, BB based on balls per plate appearance, not even in the correlation was that statistically significant. The whole idea of why Ken Williams didn't have a long hitting streak doesn't seem to match with the conventional story. And so perhaps maybe Ken Williams walked a lot and didn't get as many at-bats, but for a larger sample of players, other curtailments of at-bats, being removed for defensive purposes or being used only as a pinch hitter, maybe as or more important than walking. So anything that diminishes your pass is likely to harm your hitting streak lane, not just getting walks. And then lastly, at bats per game, to my mind, is not necessarily the best measure of opportunities to extend the streaks. We had large aggregate data, so we just could take a number of official at bats, which are the baseball reference data, number of games played, divide one by the other, average number of at bats. But of course, a player might have an average of 3 at bats per game, but it could mean they're getting 5 in some games, 1 in others, 4, 2, so forth. What really seems to bolster a player's ability to have a long hitting streak is to consistently get maybe 4 at bats per game. Of course, though, as we say here, we could go game by game for every player, but it'd be very laborious. So for somebody who played 2,000 games, we have to look at every single box score of that player. Maybe we could hire an artificial intelligence device, but lacking that, we'd have to go game by game and say, okay, that game the player got 4 at bats, that game the player got 4 at bats, that, you know, and come up with a percentage of games with at least 4 at bats. I think it would be a better measure, but it seems prohibitively difficult, at least to the facilities that I have. We went over that. And then to conclude with a shameless plug, if you're interested in hitting streaks, winning streaks, losing streaks, pitching streaks, that a book of mine called Hot Hand, The Statistics Behind Sports Greatest Streaks, is available in the exhibitor area at the University of Nebraska Press or online. Also describes a lot of Trent's research that he's published in the Baseball Research Journal in recent years. So anyway, we thank you.
Instead of just looking at hits per plate appearance. And I don't remember whether it was you or Brent putting something on Save Rail a couple of years ago where we had some of this discussion, and it prompted me to research it, like who has the highest hits per plate appearance, who has the lowest hits per plate appearance. And I think that variable would give you more explanatory information. And specifically with regard to why walks don't show up. You wouldn't expect walks to show up in regression. You would expect it in the correlation. I haven't studied this, but it may be that it wouldn't be surprising if, in general, a higher walk total is correlated with a higher batting average. If so, that would get rid of the correlation as well as the regression.
Thank you both. In fact, I brought a folder of printouts, and we can step outside and examine that after the session.
Question for you. You seem you start by assuming that you're dealing with a positive performance here. That is, a long hitting streak is a good thing. You look for positive factors and choose players in your sample. Do you think there's any value in playing the notion that what we have here is a subset of something called streakiness, and that there are players who are hot hands and cold hands, and maybe there are players who correlate long overs with streaks? Do you think there's any value playing with that?
There was a study by Albright et al., probably in the 1990s. It tried to look for general streakiness, as kind of said, both. Positive dependency, you know, hit, or negative one, non-hit. And that study did not find much. This was, I think, in the Statistical Association, and Jim Albert and other well-known baseball statisticians had commented on that. But I think that study did not find support. It would find that in a given season, some players might show a dependency or correlation of positive or negative outcomes. But that the same players would not duplicate that from one season to the next. And the conclusion was that most positive or negative streaks are consistent with weighted spread by chance. Thank you.
Bill Dean, Hooper's down here. You mentioned you analyzed the bats per game, batting average, which of course is hits per bat. To me, the obvious thing would be hits per game. That's what we're measuring, how many games do they get ahead, even better than his first plate appearance. And I can talk to you about Gene Darwin later.
Thank you. Yeah, and certainly I still have the data and look at all these variations, whether it's hit per plate appearance, as one person suggested, or hits per game.
Michael Shell, Tampa. We're talking about propensity for long streaks, so shouldn't you actually get rid of the effect of long career by having more streaks in the group? You have 1,000 games on 3 streaks. You have 3,000 games on 9 streaks.
Interesting idea. And then now in the regression, the games played are being controlled. So when you see, for example, the batting average or the at-bats per game, the controls for career length, but that doesn't mean there aren't other ways to look at it.
Take time on that.
Yeah,
you have a
question, please feel free to
see it. I should just comment a bit on your attempt to integrate speed into your regression. The two strategies in the time of the error intensity are important to this. The margin that is still about a day, very fast. The other thing is the size of a ballpark.
Good. That's a good point. And we can presumably add another variable for the decade in which the person played, something like, you know, if they played May in the 1930s, you give them a value of 1930. If they played May in the 1950s, you put a 1950. And statistically try to see if that does anything. Right. Well, the Polo Grounds was at something like 475 in the straightaway center.
When you mentioned, because you're playing like Eric Davis, I remember Eric Davis being really